Well, good evening, everybody out there in racing land. This is the 802 Cup Series podcast brought to you by me, Greg Dreis, a member of the 802 Cup Series League on iRacing. You can watch it live, this show live on twitch.tv/Greg Dreis. It will also be uploaded to YouTube later on under, what series is that under there? Joe Sixpack Racing Podcast. We also do just general iRacing and sim racing podcasts as well. We race on Sunday evenings at 6:45. We race cup cars on combination of short tracks, long tracks, and a couple road tracks thrown in. We are in the middle of our playoff season right now. We're heading into week three, and we have a guest tonight who is just a couple points out of first place there. So if you're interested in joining, you can look up the 802 Cup Series on Facebook under 802 Cup Series Racing Leagues, or you can reach out to me on the Joe Sixpack Racing League page, or just send us an email. We will be starting season three shortly, and we're just beginning recruitment season for them. I'd like to give a special thanks and a shout out right now to Riptide Radio. Jeff Barefoot, driver of the number 9. Has got Riptide Radio sponsoring just a portion of just about every single race. And at the end of the race, Jeff runs a number generator, picks a winner based on a position finish, and they get $5 in iRacing credits. And I was the lucky winner this past week. So even though I got wrecked, it cost me a top 10. I ended up in 11th. I got $5 anyway, so that's always a good deal. And a special thanks to Dave LaMaga from DTL Customs and Graphics, who does all our league artwork for us. And he also does fantastic paint jobs. He did all the paints for our Darlington Throwback Weekend and Wainwright Broadcasting, which is my podcast company, where you can catch the 802 Cup Series podcast, Joe Sixpack Racing podcast, the Indoor Gardener podcast, the Dive Bar podcast, as well as Curmudgeon Radio. So now I'd like to bring on our special guest tonight for the 802 Cup Series podcast guest spotlight that we normally do on Tuesdays. But Brandon was driving around the North Country, all across New York State, going to work, so we weren't going to make him get on the radio and talk to us there. Brandon, how you doing? Good evening.
Not bad, Greg. How we doing?
Not too bad. We have quite a bit in common there. We're both in the People's Republic of New York. We are both in small towns that could go not only by Rouse's Point or Coxsackie, they could be called Bum F Nowhere or East Podunk. You've got a lawn care company sponsoring your car. I have my own lawn care company. So before we get started there, Garand Family Maple, tell me about that. What's the connection with maple? Is it syruping or tell me about that?
Yep. It's a maple syrup company that, like, pretty sure they started, I want to say, 3-4 years ago now. It's my cousin his father, so my uncle. They got some trees out back of the yard, and they started tapping them. And then eventually, my uncle's father, who has a whole bunch of land, they kind of expanded off that, and they've grown into a pretty, I wouldn't say big business, but it's a pretty decent-sized maple syrup thing that got going on right about now.
And that doing a little tapping up there right now, because that's all going on down here.
Oh, yeah. They are tapping like crazy right now. My grandfather is up at that tap house, I would say, every night right about now, just sampling. He don't help him tap. He's a sampler right now.
That's a good job. I want to be a sampler at a winery during the week, Saturdays at a brew pub, and Sundays at a distillery.
Yep.
And then Mondays at a coffee house, but I already roast my own coffee. And what about Josh's Lawn Care, your other sponsor?
So Josh's Lawn Care is actually my little cousin. He started just as any normal kid does, you know, mows the lawn in the summer just to make some few extra bucks.
There you go.
It's grown into, he does snow plowing, and he don't just do like residential lawns. He does like commercials, like.
Ah, good.
He's doing graveyards. He's doing, I think he does Walmart. They don't got much grass at a parking lot, but they still have him go there and mow whatever they have.
Yep.
He's got like the high school. I mean, he's got a good little business for himself.
Well, what's nice about snow plowing, especially on commercial, is if you get him on a contract, if it doesn't snow, you still get paid. Unlike lawn mowing, If you don't, because this past summer we hit a, I don't know how dry it was up there, but it was bone dry down here. And I had some lawns. I went 2 months without, without mowing. And luckily I don't need that money to live on. I'm semi-retired. My wife still works full time, but there was a guy from, oh, out near Watkins Glen. He goes there to the races every summer. And I talked to him. He's got a lawn mowing company. I said, how's the drought helping you out there? He said he made $200 for the whole month of July.
And oh my
he's
gosh.
Got one of those. He's got one of these.
It was definitely a really dry summer. I can recall the barefoot walking in the grass is not as pleasurable as it usually is.
No. And your season for mowing up there is short enough as it is, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, I would say probably Memorial Day till about Labor Day at most. So I wouldn't stretch it much further than that. I mean,
down here,
I feel like that's still kind of pushing it.
Well, down here, we could start as early as April 1st or the middle of May. And the first year I got into it, we finished in October. Second year I did it, I was still mowing in Saratoga the first week of December wearing t-shirt and shorts. It was crazy that year. So let's talk some racing here. You're with the Piston Broke Racing on the 802 Cup Series League. How'd you hook up with those guys?
Yeah, so actually it was after, I want to say, Atlanta. I mean, I've talked to Larry quite a bit, and we're coming down to the final restart, and I sent him a private text message on the race, and I was like, hey, do you want me to push you here on this restart?
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, give me all you got, and then kind of pushed him out to the win. I finished second, and then after the race, he goes, hey, you want to kind of like join up and join forces here and see if we can make a better team here?
Oh, that's great. That's you're the second team member from Piston Broke. And when I saw that logo the first time, I cracked up because that logo is so cool.
I would like to take credit for the design of the logo, but I found the piston thing. And I mean, I kind of put like it all together, but I didn't draw up that piston, but it was a perfect one for the wording that I came up with.
No, it's great. And I don't know if you've seen the Penny Stackers logo. I first saw that. And I had a couple guys from that team on, and looking at it, the first time I saw that, it looked like one of those biohazard signs. I said, what are those coming out of the pennies? He goes, they're pistons. I go, oh, now that you say it, it makes sense. So, and you're driving the car number 4. Is the number 4 any significance to your racing, or just the number you came up with?
Yeah, so that's actually the guy that I used to work on his race car. Like, that's the font that I actually have is the last font that he had on his car as well. And he passed away in 2015. And he had actually, so he suffered a medical emergency kind of thing. And he'd actually won the race and was on his victory lap. And that's kind of when it all kind of happened that night.
Well, the always going out in style, there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, as most of us, it was devastating, but as we said, there's knowing him as long as we all did, there's no better way that he would wanted to go out.
Got it.
So, holding a checkered flag in the hand, I mean.
Oh, wow. So it happened while he had driving around with the checkered flag in the car?
Yep. It was on his victory lap.
Oh, man. That's, well, if you're going to go and be remembered for it, that's certainly a pretty honorable way, especially, you know, dying what you love what you're doing.
That was his passion, was racing. I mean,
wow.
If it was nights, he would go to a racetrack, even if the crew, if there was no crew, he'd go by himself. That's how dedicated he, if he said he was going, he was going.
Okay. Now, you said you grew up around Race Shop. Was that up north where you are now, or where was that?
So it's in about 10, 15 minutes away in Shazy, New York.
Okay.
So the driver of the car worked in a bus garage with my grandfather. Uh-huh. My grandfather was the first one to work on his cars back in, gotta be early 70s. I think the first car they ever worked on was like a Mercury Cougar or something, Ford Cougar or something.
Yep.
Way back in the day. Then my dad started helping him as he got older, and that's when they kind of like were transitioning to dirt, into the modified, or like the dirt car modifieds.
Okay.
And then my dad was a single dad his whole life, and whenever he wanted to go to the race shop, that's where I was going. I was getting dragged along with him.
You had no choice, right?
Yeah, it was. You know, at first it's kind of like, I'm getting dragged along with my dad. I don't want to be doing this, but yep. It didn't take but probably 2 or 3 times going to the race shop where it just... And then you go to that first race and you're just hooked.
It's like, something that gets into your blood. I've never had the opportunity to actually get behind a real car. I've driven my truck on Lime Rock a couple times. 2 years ago, we were going to IMSA at Watkins Glen anyway, but I entered the WeatherTech contest on Facebook, and we ended up winning entry into the WeatherTech tent, hanging out with all the drivers and everything. And I want to ride around Watkins Glen in the Toyota Supra on the road course, even the boot. And let me tell you, when you're going 142 miles an hour coming up to the bus stop, and when you hit the bus stop at 80, now I know what a G-force is.
Yeah.
So, and it, like I said, it just gets under your skin. So even going to a race. So you started out scraping mud. Was that scraping mud off the tires or off the fender of the cars?
Pretty much anywhere it's like built up on the car. I mean, I don't know if it was an actual job, but I think it's just more maybe something as like a kid, like to maybe get me involved in like making me feel like I'm doing something maybe.
Yep. Keep you
out of the way. I'm sure you don't want the extra weight of mud on your car. You don't want the car to be heavier than it is, but.
No. Plus it makes it look ugly. The car's got to be pretty.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And it was always, he was always a white car kind of guy.
Okay.
Most of the cars he had was white. So.
Yeah. Got it.
Good combination.
So you said once you hit your 20s, you started hanging out at the shop 3 nights a week. What did you do then? Yeah. What would you, after you graduated from scraping mud to spit shining the rims, what was your next job?
I would say mostly I would help with tires and stuff. I wasn't the most, I mean, he was very meticulous. He was pretty smart in what he wanted done to the car. So mostly like I would help with tire stuff. I would help with straightening body panels. I would clean any, or if there was anywhere tight inside the car that nobody could fit, that's where I would get wedged into. Like, oh, we can't get down in there. Can you get in there and fix that one, or like tighten that one bolt? Like, yeah, sure, I can do that. And it was anything that they told me to do. I didn't care what it was. They could have told me to take out the trash and I would have been having a great time.
Yeah, a friend of mine just bought a great big Silverado 3500 series, or so, one of the big, the giant ones, the big four-wheel drive with the dualies and stuff. And then he comes home with a 22 or 24-foot trailer. I said, what are you doing with that? He goes, I'm on a race team. I said, what's the deal with that? He goes, well, this guy over here, Ron, he owns the car. He says, don't touch my car. I own the truck and the trailer. Told him not to touch my truck. So he lives in Albany, and he was asking, he goes, hey, I'm going to work on the trailer this weekend, putting some wood in. Anybody want to come up? I'm about 20 minutes south of him. He goes, free pizza and beer. And I said, I'll be up. He goes, you know anything about wood? I said, I cut it twice and it's still too short. I said, no. He goes, neither do I. Let's have some fun. So he lives on a side street in Albany off Delaware Avenue. And I see this trailer in his narrow driveway, and I said, Jack, how did you back this thing in here? And he goes, well, let me tell you the story. About 2 weeks before I bought the trailer, I bought all my neighbors a bottle of wine or a case of beer or a bottle of whiskey, depending on what they wanted. And I told them, until I can back this trailer in, I'm getting a couple weeks, please do not park on the road. So that's what happened. And we went up there, and we had a heck of a time. And I noticed that it was pretty quiet in the neighborhood. I said, Jack, when you come out and you're working in your backyard, do all your neighbors go in and close the doors and the windows? He said, pretty much. I said, you haven't changed since high school 45 years ago. He goes, nope, no reason to. But we had fun and we got some stuff done without knowing what we were doing on the saws and stuff. So, and it, then I went up to the track with him a couple weeks after that and hung out. And this driver's daughter, you should see her turn a wrench. I don't know a wrench from a screwdriver, but she was getting under there and pulling on the struts or the springs or whatever and changing tires. It was a family affair. So it's like you said, it's just something that gets under your skin.
Oh yeah. If they asked me to change a shock or something, I could take the shock off, but if they asked me to make an adjustment, nope.
No,
that's not my forte.
No, I don't even know how to take a shock off.
I think it's just a couple bolts from what I've seen. I've never actually done it, but.
Yeah. And I'd be the one to break the bolts and break the car.
Yeah. That's what I would always be worried about. So coming in and, like, changing a tire. He didn't, like, hear the lug. If the lug nut hit, like, the rim on the tire, like, unless it was, like a rush, like, we're trying to hurry up and change the tire, like, for, like, a, like, he comes in with a flat during the race. That's a different story. But, like, if we're coming in after practice and, like, he hears a lug hit the rim, he's just, like, he looks at you and just gives you that glare and just, like, oh, that shouldn't happen. And I'm just, like, oh, man, I don't want no more responsibilities then.
There you go. That's like when somebody asks me, you know, owning a little tiny micro business and doing a few other things. I said, should I get an LLC or a corporation? I said, ask your accountant or lawyer, because when it comes to that stuff, I know just enough to get you in trouble and me arrested. And then they stay out of it. So, did you ever get a chance to drive?
No. I always wanted to, but it's just like kind of like, you know, as a kid, like you got to kind of more depend on your parents at that point.
Right.
And my dad, as a single dad, really wasn't financially stable for that. And
got it.
I knew, just growing up around it, I knew like how hooked I was. Yep. I felt if I ever got behind the wheel once, like that could be the end of it. Like Lord knows where it could have took me. I got behind the wheel once. I think the car wasn't started, but I got to like be the guy that steered it as they pushed it through the pit.
Okay.
And even now, I was like, "Oh man, if I could just fire this thing great. Up right now!"
Yeah, yeah. Because like, once you get behind
the closest I've ever been to on track was, I want to say around 2003. We'd take a family trip down to North Carolina and around spring break, and we'd go to Rockingham.
Oh, Rockingham. Yep.
Yep. I went there the last 3 years it was open in the spring.
Yep.
And that was so cool. But we actually went to Charlotte, too, and, like, we took a tour around the facility, and, like, they put us in this, like, 16-passenger van, and this dude would take us around the track. I don't think we got up that fast. I'm sure we probably hit 100 at most, but there was one point where he parked it at the top of the banking.
Oh, yeah.
And that's talk steep. About sketchy, just feeling like – we're just leaning, right? Like, it felt like it was 90 degrees. Like, I'm looking straight down at the ground.
Yeah,
the top heavy of the van, I was just like, wow, this is crazy.
I've been there. I've walked around the banking there. I cannot imagine what something like a Daytona is like. My son was on the track at Daytona, and he said it's like a Black Diamond ski course up at Killington or something like that. He said it's crazy.
The banking's nuts.
That it is.
Especially when you get used to, like, your local short tracks that's probably got, like, barely anything.
Yeah. Well, we have a half-mile track here, Lebanon Valley, and the banking there, when you're up in the stands, you don't notice it, but when you get down on the track afterwards, or if you have the pit passes, and after the races, you're up there walking around on it's like climbing Mount Everest. It's really, really steep.
Actually went there last fall for the Labor Day race. I forget what they call it.
Oh, okay.
100 lap big block race.
Oh, yep. Yes.
Yeah. And I'd actually been there one time before too, probably when I was 10. Tony Stewart and Dave Blaney were racing.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And I'm a big Tony Stewart fan.
Yeah.
I'm one of the rare ones, but his.
I always liked him. He was all right. I always, you know, he's kind of like the Kyle Busch of his time, but at least
he had a little bit of an attitude. But like, as a younger kid, I thought that was cool.
Yeah,
and orange was my favorite color. I mean, it all kind of just lined up perfectly.
Ah, okay. Is he still doing his, what is it, World of Outlaws, or is his Sprint Cup series?
So he still has his World of Outlaw team. I know he's actually racing NHRA this year.
Yes, I remember that. Yep. And he's doing the SRX too.
And he does the SRX series too.
Yep. Yep. My son, who you hear racing in the next room there, for anybody that's listening in, that's not a soundtrack of a racetrack, that's my son Sam, the NASCAR photographer and New England motorcycle road racing photographer, using my rig to race in his league tonight with somebody that won the Busch series back in the early 2000s. So he's 21. We both do photography, and all of a sudden he's taking photography and he's on the other side of the wall at the track, basically just giving me the dirty look when I ask him, hey, can you get me an autograph? And he's like, no, I got to go talk to Richard Petty. Talk to you later, Dad. I said, thanks a lot.
You could be like that guy that went up and just asked Matt Kenseth and Walking Glen that one time. Oh, that run right up on the track.
Yeah, that ended a lot of stuff there. But Watkins Glen is great. Did you get a chance to go to any tracks at all?
So I went to Rockingham, like I said. Mm-hmm. I've been to New Hampshire.
Okay.
And they weren't racing at the time, but I guess when I was a little kid, my dad brought me to Bristol once.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
They had something going on, but there wasn't a race going on.
Yep.
And there's pictures of me as like a little baby, like him holding me at Bristol. And I'm like, well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you've been there. You don't remember it. It's like
I don't remember it, but I've been to Bristol.
It's like me with Niagara Falls. I said, I've never been there. My mom and dad are like, yes, you were. We got a picture of you in a stroller. I said, yeah, like 6 months old. So speaking of Rockingham, we used to pass that every summer on our way down to Augusta, Georgia area where my grandparents lived. And that was like one of the highlights of the trip is going by the racetrack. And the thing was, it was awesome back then. And that's back in the 60s and 70s. So they're, aren't they redoing that one?
I think they're repaving. I know I think there's a late model race there later in the year.
Oh, no kidding.
From what maybe I've read. Could be just Twitter rumors. Who knows? Yeah. But North Wilkesboro's coming back. I mean,
North Wilkesboro. Right. That's right. And they're thinking about Rockingham. So Dale Jr.'s the one doing North Wilkesboro. He's a big push behind that, isn't he?
Yeah. Yep. That's cool. That's a pretty good name to have for an influencer on something happening.
Oh, yeah.
I could see he's always pushing for the fairgrounds too in Nashville.
Yep.
That's cool. Something that would probably happen before Rockingham, based on his influence. Yeah.
So you said you raced the Northeast, or your team that you worked with there raced the dirt mods all over the Northeast. How far down this way did you come, and how far out west did you go?
I would say the furthest south we probably ever went was maybe Lebanon Valley.
Okay.
Far west is so we raced Oswego a few times when they kept it pavement. We didn't go out and race Super Dirt Week like they race now.
Got it.
They had a couple like asphalt specialty races, and that was pretty fast. That was pretty crazy. Lots of the Canada tracks: Cornwall, Granby, Rockville. I mean, and I've gone to Devil's Bowl.
Yep.
Thunder Road. So, and there's probably a bunch more that I'm not even remembering.
How's the dirt track racing world up there now? Is it pretty healthy, or any tracks closing?
Tracks get their good numbers, but it's not. I would say a lot of things have changed since COVID.
Definitely.
Like, it's just money wise, and I don't go to the track as much as I used to ever since like he passed. I've only probably gone four or five times, but I'll keep I'll check online. I'll keep kind of up to date with it, but
yeah, keep in touch.
Not like I used to. I mean, when you're involved in it, it's like a totally different feeling.
That's true. Yeah, once you get the pit passes for the big NASCAR tracks, and then you go back sitting in the stands, you're like, wow, I should have spent the money on it. But I bought the pit passes last year, and you know, the whole access package, because I had two friends that said they were gonna go last year. Well, actually one friend and Sam. So I splurged and spent $500 each for three, you know, all access passes, which got you in the garages and on pit road during the race and everything, and the pace car ride. And then Sam says, I won't be needing that or the ticket. I go, what do you mean? He goes, I got my press credentials. I'm going to be shooting photographs all weekend. I'm like, all right, that's fine. And then the other guy that was going to go with us, he told his wife about it. His wife said, go ahead. And then she goes and schedules a family vacation down in Charlotte for that same week. So I'm walking around with three pit passes and only able to use one of them. And I ended up selling one of them to one of Sam's friends for I was holding out for trying to get $100 or $200 for it. And I ended up, I think, selling it for $30. And I just took the $30 and went and bought beer.
Yeah. I don't care. I just want to be able to get beer at this point.
Yep. So that was fun. So tell me about your iRacing career. When did that start?
Yeah. So that kind of started when I saw that they were bringing the modifieds on to the server.
Ah, cool.
That was 2020. I watched, like, all during the pandemic, that's what everybody was doing. And I was like, man, yep. I got to get a computer. But I just never wanted to splurge for it. And then during Christmas, my wife actually got, like, everybody in the family, like, to pitch in. And, like, that was my Christmas present. Like, everybody pitched in a little bit, and they got me a computer.
Oh, that is really good. Did she do it because she knew you liked racing, or did she do it?
I had been like looking at like wanting to get a computer and like kind of want to get into like iRacing. Like, I mean, there was a point where I'm pretty sure I was looking up if I could like if my laptop would be able to handle it and if I could do it with a controller. And I was just like, no, if I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do it right. Like, I'm not just gonna.
Yeah, I've been doing it for about 7 years. I think my son Sam was doing it for about 10 or 11, and he started with a laptop and one of those wheels that you basically like a $49 wheel and pedal set that you clamp on the dining room table.
And
he was having a blast with it. And all of a sudden I get an email. You've been suspended from iRacing for 30 days. And I'm like, Sam, what is this? Oh, I wrecked somebody on purpose after the race and got you suspended. I'm like, I don't even know what iRacing is. But he had to use my credit card to get on, so that's how. If you ever see my race record, it might be back there from 8, you know, like 9-10 years ago that I got suspended for 30 days for wrecking somebody. So then we built. We were still using the laptop, and we had after that we got like a little 23 or 24 inch monitor, and bought a better wheel. Nothing great, you know, Logitech 920 and the Logitech pedals. Sitting on the floor of where the race room is now, and after we had we bought a race seat.
Yep.
And they were like, oh man, I had spinal surgery 20 something years ago, and sitting down on the floor and then getting up after racing for an hour was killing me. So we built a little platform, raised it up, and then I don't know if you've seen any pictures I put up on our team, our league Discord there, but it's grown quite a bit. And every time we go to the races and we hit the fan zone, I get more bags of stuff, and I have to keep adding another room onto my man cave apartment to put all the stickers and the bags and the hats on. So I told my wife, I said, when are we going to move the washer and dryer upstairs? Because, you know, we're not getting any younger, and you've got a bad foot and don't like to go downstairs. She goes, why? I said, well, I need more room to put up my racing stuff. She said, get out of here. So it's turned in from a little 8x8 or 8x9 little computer room that I had where I was doing home brewing. That was my brewery. So now it's like a 3-room little apartment, and it's old school man cave. It's not one of these ones you see on Home and Garden TV. If you knew anything about carpentry or you were a building inspector and saw how I built this, you would never give me the CO for it. You'd throw me out. But that's how I did it.
Yeah, my setup's nothing special. I used to have a regular computer desk. Now I just got folding card table. It's propped up by a couple 2x4s, so I can raise up so I can more like level. And I just got some. I don't think I got the same wheel, Logitech 930 or something.
Yep.
I got it because like I used to be able to use it with my Xbox before I even got the computer.
Oh, no kidding.
But I planned ahead because I was like, I'm going to get a computer one day. I just don't know when. And then I ended up getting one for Christmas anyways.
Oh, that's cool.
So I had the wheel. I had the pedals. And that day, Christmas day, I was on iRacing that night.
Oh, like, that's
just
great.
Just doing practice laps.
Yep, that's what I did. And I'm trying to figure it out. And I am not technically savvy. I'm very technically deficient. You got to show me how to run a program like 7 times before I'll even understand it.
Yeah. YouTube is a great learning tool, and anything I've learned probably in the last 10 years has come from YouTube.
Well, you know, that's really good because I'm in the lawn and garden end, you know, with my career. I spent almost like 40 years in that business, and when I hear somebody say on the Facebook garden groups, well, you know, there's this guy on YouTube, and he said if you don't want your tomato plants to, you know, get bugs, plant them upside down in the ground. It's literally that bad in the garden world, but usually the racing stuff I found is pretty good.
Yeah.
So, what else you got there? Da, 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 da. And how'd you find the 802 Cup Series?
So I kind of know Rob, Rob works on the Stones, Justin, Todd. I don't know if he ever worked on Gardner stuff, but those. Actually, I don't know if Leon ever raced Justin because he's kind of young. Leon raced Todd and Gardner for sure, and that's kind of how I knew Rob. Like, he's a little bit older than me, but we were Facebook friends, and then we started racing the 802 Dirt League that he had with the modifies, and that's kind of how I got familiar with 802 leagues.
Ah, okay.
And then he was like, hey, you should try to join the Cup Series this year. And I was like, all right, yeah.
So he's not too far from you up there then, is he?
No, I think he's in Middlebury, and that's only maybe an hour tops away.
Okay. You got to go around the lake to get there?
Yep.
Okay. That's cool. And what's your... speaking of, let's go to the next page where we got the playoff standings. So you are in P2 for the playoffs. You're 8 points behind Frank. What's your plan?
Frank's looking really good so far. I'll say that much. But
what's your plan and strategy on catching him?
I don't know if I really have a plan or strategy to catch him. Kind of letting the cards fall where they fall right now. I mean, last week I was not comfortable at all. Like, I was barely running top 10. I think I ended up fifth or sixth. kind of played some pit strategy, pitted a little bit earlier in that last cycle and gained some time. And then I shouldn't say luckily, but Rob and Johnny had some misfortune. So I gained a couple spots on that too. Mm-hmm. So at this point, I kind of feel fortunate to be in second because last week I thought I was going to lose.
Okay.
I thought I was going to lose a bunch of spots last week because I just couldn't get the car felt good the whole race. I just didn't feel like I had any speed and I didn't. We're in a fixed league, so there's not too much you can do for adjustments.
Right.
To be like, make this thing go faster, but.
Yep. It is a lot of luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
And you got. Couple people breathing down your neck there, Chris Max and Dave LaMaga. They're like 4 points.
Yeah, everybody,
away.
I mean, yep. I still only, I think, I don't know how many points Rob and Johnny are behind, but I don't count those two as they're two of the fastest drivers. They just had two bad races, not any luck. So,
yeah, well,
that could happen to any one of us that's ahead of them. So,
exactly. Yeah, you've got
it's still tight.
Oh, it's very
There's
tight.
There's Talladega.
Yes, there is. Yep. And there was Darlington to finish the pick in the seven. Yeah, you've got 1094. Chris Max has 1093. Dave LaMaga, 1090. Johnny Barker, 1081. And Rob Lowell and John Bewley are tied at 1079. And Frank's not too far ahead. He's got 1102. So
he's not too far. I think eight points or something.
Yep.
So.
Got it. And tell me about teamwork during the race. What happens with...
Oh, yeah, it's mostly... So I'm kind of new to it. I mean, I think this is only my third race with teammates that I've had.
Oh, okay.
For the first half of the season, I was just driving by myself. And I would always think, man, I wonder if somebody else's strategy, I wonder what they're thinking. That's kind of...
Exactly.
Because like we said, there's not much we can be like, this is what I'm doing for an adjustment on my car. More like, hey, when are you thinking of pitting, for these fresh tires? Like, how much does your tires fall off that run?
Yep.
I wonder if I can push a little bit harder. How hard are you pushing?
Yep.
That's kind of been nice to, bounce off a little bit. I mean, we can do the few minor adjustments, brake bias, steering ratio, opinion stuff. I mean, I don't know too much about that on the next gen, but we're learning.
Do you like your steering tight or on the loose side?
Notice that I seem to run my numbers a lot lower than most people do.
Ah, I see. I'm the exact opposite. I run mine about...
I'm sitting at a 2.08 at least every track.
Wow. You see, I could not drive with the steering that loose. I'm about two notches from the top. about 2.86 is where I run, whatever the third from the highest number is. And I don't know what those numbers mean either. I have no clue what that is.
I don't know what they mean, but like I can definitely feel a little bit of difference. Like when I told Larry what I was running at Darlington, he was like, "Oh my god."
Yeah.
Cause like I had my brake bias like way down. I had my that pinion number I think was either at the 2.08 or even lower.
Wow.
But like we were still around around the same lap times.
No kidding. Well, it like you said, it all is what works for you. And when I had, I don't know if you're familiar with McConey Setup Shops. I had Jeff McConey on here once, and I said, "How do you do a setting for somebody?" He says, "It's not just sending him a number. You ask him, how do you like to drive? Do you drive off the front wheel, the back wheel? Do you like it loose? Do you like it tight? Tell me, and we'll adapt it for you, and drive it a little bit, and tell us what you want changed." So.
Yeah, and they'll still and they'll help you adjust on it and all that stuff. Yep.
Just for
I've never actually bought a setup, but
Well, I went in and tried to see what those numbers do on because it's so tedious. I don't know if you ever played around with the numbers trying to do an open setup or anything.
It's not NASCAR Thunder 2003 anymore,
No,
and there's numbers that I'm like, I don't know.
You know, you change,
especially sometimes like when a setup will tell you like. When you have to pass tech and it says failed, and I'm like, I don't know what to change.
Yeah. Well, it lights up red, but what I find, and again, not knowing anything, is you adjust the toe in or camber on the front right, and all of a sudden your gas tank cap pops off or something like that, or spark plug breaks. That's my luck with it. Shows you how little I know. But it is a heck of a lot of fun trying to figure out what they do. Now, do you guys run?
Yeah.
Do you practice before the races as a team?
Done a couple practices.
Okay.
Whenever our schedules line up, we try to do the practice races. I was actually in the practice race before the interview. Yeah. I just did the practice part of it and didn't qualify or anything. I just wanted to get a couple laps just to see what everybody else's lap times kind of were too.
Yep. Any changes in the next gen since the updates this week, because somebody was saying it drives
I've noticed
different.
But like the fuel page is different. It's got like a margin thing on there now, and it says add laps, and you can have an auto fuel, so I think it'll only add like enough, like say during the fuel run you had a 20 gallon tank and you're in 10 gallons, it'll only add it 10 gallons. It won't, which is it's all it'll add anyways, but it won't, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It makes it so much more confusing to me.
Yeah,
with all these other options on the fuel.
Yeah, I'm not going to pay attention to that. I've got a little button box that I use, and it's not one of these, like the one Rob Lowell has, which is all digital and everything. That would drive me crazy. I just got a little $10 number keypad off Amazon and assigned the buttons to do whatever, like change the right side, change both. Fuel only, tires only, and stuff like that, quick repair and stuff like that. And I've got, usually my first one when we first go around, coming up to the comp caution, it's one clears everything off, and my usual start is like 1.37, which is one clears it, three is full tank, and seven or whatever, six or whatever it is all four tires, and you get. Towards the end of the race, I've got a button for half a tank and just a splash. And if I'm real competitive, I've got one just to change the right side tires like that. But that's about it.
Yeah, I don't have any button boxes. I have – so on the wheel, I have like – it has like the Xbox button. So I kind of like scroll through some things.
Oh, okay.
But most of those buttons are to like look left, look right.
Exactly.
Turn the car on. touch to speak shift. So I don't have many free buttons.
Yeah, I think
most of the time I'm just click on. I get to the page and then I just unclick fast repair. That's the most of the things that like, I don't like to waste.
Yes,
like when you have just like a little bit of damage and you forget to turn it off and like you look and you're like, oh crap.
Yeah,
wasted a fast repair for a little buckle fender. Like, yep. It's not even that bad. Like,
or before I got the button box, because when I'm driving, I can't flip through the black box on the side and click this and click that. That's why I got the button box. Or you come in like one time I'm coming in for fuel and tires and I forgot to turn them on. I had them turned off and I got to go all the way around the track again. You know, stupid stuff like that. That's why I finished 15th instead of 10th.
I think that happened to a couple people earlier this year where there was like two or three of them that forgot to click add fuel during the last pit stop. And like they all ran out of fuel before we went in green.
I think that happened to Rob one race. He goes, oh shit, I forgot either that or forgot to turn the tires on. Or you pull in a couple times I forgot to turn the quick repair on. So I'm figuring getting back out on the track quick and it says 39 minutes of repair. And I'm like, shit, what did I do? Drives you crazy. Because the minute you cross that line, and let's say you qualify in the top 10 and you just cross that line and then you realize you're 37 spots from your pit box and it's not going to do anything good because you forgot to turn the stuff on.
Yep.
Been there, done
that. That's why I'm probably like, I'm already taught the way I am. Like, I can't, if I had it to where like I had to turn everything on, I don't know how many times I would mess that up. So I have to just turn stuff off if I don't want it.
Got it. So, do you prefer watching dirt track or NASCAR, road, short track? What's your favorite series?
I don't really think I have a preference. I mean, the thing with dirt is like you have to mostly like buy subscriptions to watch them. It's not really like too broadcasted that often. Like if you have either Flow or Dirt Vision.
Yep.
So I mean, I'll buy Dirt Vision every now and then. I bought it for the Dirt Car Nationals, like the month of February. Kind of watch like all those at Volusia.
Yep.
Then I'll like turn that subscription off.
Yeah.
I watch pretty much NASCAR every week.
Mm-hmm.
I watch IndyCar. I'll watch. If it's racing, I'll watch it pretty much.
Yeah.
Formula One. I got into that because of Drive to Survive. I mean, kind of always followed F1 just because of the video game.
Ah, okay.
But the once the show came on, it's kind of like, it just gives you like that extra like view of like these people and like their actual elements. And it's almost like, like I can kind of relate to like how they are.
Yeah.
Like anybody that's in racing almost seems to have a very similar personality.
A little chip on their shoulder and a little bit of arrogance. I think you kind of need that. Who's your favorite driver?
Right now, Kevin Harvick. It was kind of slid in real easily. So, Leon drove the four. He always raced Fords. And it was. They switched to Fords the year after Tony Stewart retired. I was like, I'm kind of like looking for a driver. And I'm like, well, that kind of makes sense. I'll just root for the number four car.
There you go.
And now I'm in a lull this year. I'm like, well, now I'm going to find another driver.
Yeah, he's leaving this year.
Yeah, so all NASCAR drivers are auditioning for me this year. And we'll see who can win me over.
And who's your favorite so far, even though the season's young?
I mean, it's kind of favoritism. Like, I'm probably going to root for somebody from SHR.
Okay.
So I'll probably just be like a team guy. Like, I kind of like Priest and Briscoe, but they're not running too good. But,
yep.
And Almirola is almost on his way out. He was going to retire last year, anyways.
Yeah, and then he had a good year.
Yeah, he had a good year. And,
yep.
I mean, when you got the sponsor that wants to back you.
Oh, that's everything.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. You know, and I love to put together something and, you know, actually make a little money from the sim racing, but it's so hard. I was running two different leagues just about this time last year, and between promotions for the leagues and track time and TV and prize money, I think I was spending almost like $500 a month. And I'm like, nobody wants to sponsor this because we had really good viewership every race. Really competitive. We had a good truck series, a good cup series. And, you know, you're always wishing that someone would come along and, you know, throw you a couple hundred dollars for the season, but it just doesn't happen. It's so hard. So if you're just tuning in or you've been listening for a while, this is the 802 Cup Series podcast. We are the 802 Cup Series on iRacing. We race on Sunday nights at 6:45. We're in the middle of our playoff season for season two right now, and that noise in the background is not a racetrack audio loop. It's my son iRacing back in the other end of the room there, and we're going to be starting season three pretty soon. You can Look us up on Facebook under iRacing or 802 iRacing Leagues. Get a hold of somebody on there or send me a note on the Joe Sixpack Racing League page. I'm one of the admins of the 802 series, and we'll let you know what you need to do to get involved with us. It's a laid-back league, but it's competitive. It's a lot of fun. We're giving out $700 in prize money this year, all the way back to P15. If you finish in 15th place, you're getting your entry fee back, and that's some pretty cool stuff. It's a broadcast league. We have a lot of fun racing, and I am interviewing right now the driver of the car number 4, Brandon Guerin, and he is currently in second place after 2 weeks and on our playoff. So, Brandon, tell me about your other two sponsors there. Lightning Larry or Lightning Lardy?
Lightning Lardy's Barbecue. And that's also another friend. I think all my sponsors are actually family.
No so kidding.
They're not really paying me. Just
yeah.
Kind of something nice that I show them and be like, yeah, there's some broadcasted races that some people do see. So you never know who might show up.
Exactly.
So Lightning Lardy's Barbecue, he's a barbecue caterer, probably been doing it 7 or 8 years now.
Oh, that's cool.
He's always kind of been in the restaurant business and branched out eventually, started doing his own catering. I mean, it's probably some of my favorite barbecue. I mean, I've never been.
Oh, I love barbecue.
Actual, let's say Kansas is known for barbecue and all that stuff. I've never been out where barbecue is known for, but
Kansas, Texas.
Around here.
Actually, there's a lot of good barbecue around here. In the Northeast, not like you find it out in Kansas or Nashville or in Texas, but there's some good stuff here. Rob Lowell just dropped in and left a message. He said, just finished the practice race. He'll catch the whole interview here on the replay. And Rob's kind of the Swami of the league owner there. He's always checking in and making sure that everything is going well. Now, is it Baker's Gazebo and Shed? Tell me about that business.
Yeah, that's my uncle. He delivers sheds that are hand built by the Amish. Okay. I think there's a little Amish community that's not too far from where he lives. Maybe an hour. It's around Malone area.
Yep, there's a few up there. There's some in I think around Indian Lake and Long Lake too. There's some Amish.
Yep, and he goes up there, picks up sheds, or he'll. I think my father actually bought a shed and some kind of gazebo area for his hot tub. So,
okay.
Come and takes measurements. He can get them custom built, or he has pre-built ones that he has sitting at his house that people come and check out. So it's kind of just a Amish delivery service of their sheds and gazebos.
He doesn't deliver by
horse. They're really nice. They're really nice. Yeah. He doesn't. My parents' hot tub room is. I'm pretty jealous.
Cool. He doesn't deliver him by horse and buggy, does he?
No, they got a truck in this crazy trailer. My little cousin, the one that does the lawn care, that's his father that does that.
Oh, no kidding.
The sheds.
Oh, that's cool.
And I've seen my little cousin whip around, backing up a truck. You'd think he'd been driving 18-wheeler for 25, 30 years the way he's backing these trailers up.
No kidding.
It lifts the shed all the way up in the air, almost 90 degrees, and then slides it off, and it's
crazy. The thing. Now, is it true when they move those sheds around from the front to the back, they do it with big PVC pipes and just kind of roll it?
I didn't see them load it or unload it. Okay. I'm just going off what my dad told me. Yeah. He says all I remember is him telling me how high they had it in the air.
All right, but when they move it to somebody's backyard, if those Amish sheds, they're not the ones you buy at Depot.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It has to have some kind of cylinder device to be able to roll them around.
That's what I thought. Because those aren't the sheds that Lowe's and Depot sell. These are real, real wood.
The real deal.
Yeah. That's cool. And like I said, any size and stuff like that you can get, they'll custom build.
Yeah, if you need a custom built one, he'll come to wherever you are and he'll measure it out. You tell him where you want it and be like, all right, I'll get the measurements, and he'll. I think my dad's the hot tub one took 3.5 weeks for them to build.
Three and a half weeks to build it? Wow.
Oh, yeah. And, like, I don't know if that's fast or slow, but, I mean, they do seem pretty – with as many sheds as these guys are delivering, I don't – that seems pretty fast to me.
Yeah. Wow. So how did he get involved with the Amish? Because a lot of times they're pretty cloistered, have kind of like keep to themselves, and they're not too trusting of the outsiders.
I want to say they have like I don't know, like a little shop where like they would sell like pies and like homemade baked goods and stuff like that. Or
yep.
I'm pretty sure they had the sheds also like on their property where they're like selling them.
Yep.
And knowing my uncle, he probably just went in there and he was buying some pies one day. And he was like, hey, do you guys need help selling these sheds? I don't know how he could swindle his way into this deal. I don't know, but he would bring my grandparents pies and like he was getting pies for free eventually for helping them like getting rid of these sheds. And like, cause he was moving them probably a lot faster than they were moving them.
Yep. Well, that's cool. Yeah. Interesting way to live. I could barely understand living like the Amish in Lancaster where it's, you know, 200 and some odd miles south of the Canadian border. But I could not imagine doing that in way up there in upstate New York.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like that big of an area that it is either, but it's, yeah. It's there. You see the buggies. They're trotting on the roads in the summertime. Like,
yep. And then there's some out in the Finger Lakes too, because we see the signs out there around, let's say Ithaca and Watkins Glen and Geneva out there. It's like you could understand a little further south, but up there and then in the Adirondacks, how where it's pretty much it's just one big rock. It's kind of difficult to farm in the Adirondacks, let alone the season, because you're basically just sitting on the world's largest piece of granite or whatever like that. So what else you want to talk about there? What did I miss? What's your secret?
My secret? I don't know. I think my secret is just I feel like I'm pretty low-key in the league. I don't really say too much on the radio.
Yep.
Not really. I'm just here to have fun, and
exactly.
I don't like to have too much drama with anybody.
No, it's not worth it. I sometimes drag myself into it on my own and then end up just running away and it looking at me and say, why did I do that? You know, being stupid and stuff like that.
I think this last weekend was the first time that I had mic'd up like all season.
Yeah, because when I said, where's Brandon been recently? Because we've been talking about Discord coming on the show, and you're like, oh, I opened my mouth. Now you're going to make me come on. I go, yep, I got your number. So it took a while, but we got you here. And then it's like, yeah. And I look at the race cap afterwards. I'm like, the recap of the race. I'm like, oh, Brandon was racing tonight, or this guy was racing, because not a lot of people are talking on during the race as compared to some other leagues I've been in. Some of them, they don't shut up.
Yeah, I don't say too much on the race control one through iRacing. I'm probably still pretty quiet compared to Larry and John. They're probably like, man, is this guy even here? Sometimes I don't say anything on the race because I'm used to just being like, I've been by myself most of the season. So like,
yeah,
just kind of sit there and be quiet and kind of like focus on the race. And
yeah,
this weekend I was frustrated. I was like, man, I'm going to run like 10th or 11th all night.
Yep.
And then I can't even remember what happened, but I was like, I'm going to key up tonight. I'm going to say something. Kind of like almost like, oh, he spoke. Like,
Oh.
He's still there.
Yep, that's for sure. I first got involved with racing with a team more as a joke. I forget what we called ourselves. Black Sheep Racing, back in the old Joe Sixpack Racing League. And that was just to basically bust chops on another team called Wild Aces. Just to have fun and go back and forth like that. But when I got serious, yeah. I was racing last year with Rob's team, and I'm like, wow, this adds anybody out there that doesn't race with a team, you're missing a whole nother dimension to the race. Even if you don't talk strategy, just to have another set of ears to bounce ideas off with, it's a blast. And we did have four members on our team this year, the Joe Sixpack Racing team. Now we're down to just me and Aaron. One of the guys, Isaac, was too young to be in the league, and he ended up leaving. And another one, the driver, the number 10, Mike the Fish, he left. He left too. And it was.
I remember Fish. Yeah, Fish was fast too.
And so was his mouth. He would not shut up during the whole race. Even on the team channel, because you know, it's all, you know, there's no buttons to push. It's you talk and it goes out over the Discord channel. So I've got iRacing in one ear and I've got the earbud for the team in the other ear. And it's a whole nother dimension to racing. It actually makes it a lot more fun.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot more fun just having my teammates to talk to during a race.
Yep, it is.
Sometimes, like, you get the surprisingly, we do get a lot of long green flag runs.
We have like, lately.
I do like that. I wish the races were a little bit longer, just so we could throw a little bit more strategy into it.
Yeah,
but
that's one of the things I think. Some of the chatter on our league Discord was possibly making the races a little longer next year, because when this league used to be the Joe Sixpack Racing League, after two seasons, we did make the races longer, and it added a lot more strategy to it. So that's one of the things that I know is being tossed around. If you had to pick one thing you'd like to add to the league next year or something, what would that be?
Ooh. I would say as much fun as the road course was, I feel like a lot of people would vote to get rid of it.
Yeah. I think in the past,
I mean, after a second, I didn't have like the greatest, like obviously nobody was as quick as Dave was. I mean, I think he beat everybody by almost like 40 seconds.
Ah, okay.
So, but the road course was kind of fun. The length of the races, I would say. Maybe we could add like some kind of like points to the comp caution, or like maybe like that first stage, like somehow we get some points for that.
I would make it like a stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like almost like we're racing to something, not just having like a comp caution.
Yeah.
Because
that's a good
point. Much as it's nice to have like a break, I'm almost like, man, I wish we could just keep it green at this point, because the races aren't long enough. So, like, if we could just keep it green, if it's going to be green, like, I don't see why we need the comp caution unless maybe, like, we get, like, a little reward for it.
Yeah, well, we did that for the second season of the Joe Sixpack League. Dave LaMaga was another admin in that league, and there were two other admins. They brought it up. Originally I was against it because I hate watching it on NASCAR. I don't mind the comp caution on NASCAR, but when you're watching Xfinity and there's only 30 or
it takes the strategy right out of the race.
Right. Or stage two is only like 30 laps long and they take 7 laps for between stages.
For the truck series.
Right. So you've spent almost 25% of stage two driving around under a yellow flag. But then they convinced me on it because we were a very laid back league, not even nearly as fairly competitive, but not as competitive as this one. And they said, well, think about it. It's a laid back league. And if you get wrecked early, we don't want drivers leaving. So it gives them a chance to just regroup and catch up. And we did it at the 40% mark. Just so that, all right, we're going to do it at 40, not 50, because otherwise if it's at the 50 or after, why even bother racing that first stage? So yeah, I hear you. I don't mind it.
I don't mind the break, but some points wouldn't be like the worst thing,
no,
I guess.
That's an idea. So, all right. Yeah.
Even if we make like that first stage, because I know the first stage is kind of usually based on the percentage of the race, but
right.
Like, also kind of like goes in within our fuel window.
Yeah, like, there's been a couple
like
times.
We never have to, it's always kind of like right in that fuel window, like we have a few laps left over.
Yeah. There was one time when they changed the fuel allotment because it came like too close to it, or too close to the comp question or something.
I think it was Michigan.
It could have been something like that. Yeah. When I was doing my league, I had a different fuel percentage for every race, just to, you know, add a little strategy to it. But I have no issue with the way they're doing it now. But yeah, one of the things that, like you said, we've been talking about online that's been tossed around is going to longer races. I wouldn't mind that. Because I think a longer race is fun.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be even that much longer. I mean, even most of our around 100, 120 is our races.
Yep.
Like, there's certain races that probably don't need to be extended. Like, I would say, like, Daytona doesn't need more laps.
Yeah.
The road course would need more laps if we kept that race. Like, that don't need to be extended. If anything, that could be probably shortened a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well,
I would say based on certain tracks where we're like, okay, this would be a little bit more fun where we could throw some more strategy into the track.
Yeah, Rob just chimed in. He goes, last season we ran 40%. I think that's where the comp question was, 60% fuel. Had to pit every race prior to the comp for fuel. He said there were some complaints. Felt it really played into the hands of the evil tire savers. And he's one of those evil tire savers.
So last season, I think I only made one start.
Yep.
It was at Charlotte,
uh-huh.
And I won the race. I won the race saving fuel. So I was like, well, I haven't raced this whole thing. I'm just going to – and I had an extra set of tires still in the pits too. So, like, if would have actually went – had a caution, I would have – I think everybody had already used their tires.
Yeah.
And most people are trapped a lap down. So I kind of was like, oh,
yep.
This is going to play right into my hands. But
yeah, it rocks.
Yeah, I made one start last year. Yeah. And it was a little bit longer races from what I remembered.
Yeah, Rob said you smoked them all, and he's crowned you for, I just joking, he crowned you the evil tire saver for that season. Rob is really good at saving tires.
And he's fast the whole time, too. Like, I'm like, man.
I don't get it.
I'm always like, I'll let Rob go. He'll burn out his tires, and like 20 laps later, he's still like pulling away from me. I'm like, man. Yeah.
It's like, I know he's saving tires, and I'm running back, you know, P13. I'm trying to save tires, and I'm looking at my relative, and it's like every lap I'm a quarter second slower. And I'm like, what's going on? I'm trying to do this. But then I realize there's a big group of us right between P11 and 15, and it's really tight, and it's side-by-side driving, and you know what happens if you try to race somebody too much, you're going to burn your tires out, but sooner or later, you got to do it just to pass somebody. But I've learned over time just to be patient and stay pretty close to the driver in front of me and just wait for the right moment to go under them. Because when you run in on a long green flag run, you can see when their tires are starting to go, because when you go into turns, they kind of drift higher and you're like, okay, so that's going to be me unless I go under this guy now. So it sometimes takes me 12 or 15 laps just to pass somebody, but I'm all right with that.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Mark Martin method, you know, you're just slow and methodical and then eventually just going to go right around them.
Yeah, that's true. So, hey, in case you're just joining in, such as Rob Lowell, who came late because he was practicing saving tires tonight, this is the 802 Cup Series podcast. I'm Greg Dreis, the host. We race on Sunday nights on iRacing, Sunday nights at 6:45, Cup Cars fixed set. We are going into week three this week at Kansas for week three of the playoff season. Recruiting season is underway for season three starting in May. And if you want any more information on the league, just head to 802 iRacing Leagues. Send somebody a message there, and we'll let you know what's needed. Or check us out under Leagues and see what's going on there. And get a hold of one of the admins or the league owner, and we'll tell you what we're looking for. We're not looking for people to win all the time. We're looking for people to have fun. I certainly don't win all the time. I think in my five or six seasons of running leagues and being in leagues, I might have one victory, and I don't even think it was an official. I think it's just a practice race, but it's fun. It's a good bunch of guys, good friends, good teamwork, and we broadcast. And we've got a laid back league with only $15. to get in for the points and the money race. We're given $700 in prize money this year. And even if you finish P15, you get all your money back, your $15 entry fee. So that's thanks to all the sponsors out there, including Riptide Radio. And I sponsored a couple, and there's a bunch of us that threw in extra money for the prize money this year. And also, we're also having a $30 prize for Rookie of the Year. And that was put up by one of the drivers. Brandon, believe it or not, we've been talking for over an hour, and I think I've...
It flies by when you're having a good time, Greg.
You know, when you're sitting there, when you're sitting there looking at it, and it's every episode I do, it gets to be like 20 minutes into it, and I go, wow, we're almost out of what we're talking about. And then before you know it, it's like, holy crap, where'd that last 45 minutes go?
So, Robin, I was waiting to see if he would mention that he won the practice race tonight. He didn't bring that up, did he?
No, I think he's still smarting because he gave himself a penalty for taking me out in Chicago last week. But it did cost me, I believe, a top 10 finish. But I ended up in 11th, and I won the $5 Riptide prize. So I can't really complain. So
you speak of the prize money. I mean, I've already got, I think I got a Riptide, so I got $5 there. And
yep.
I won our all-star race. That got me the $25 and some socks. I've already made my money back on this league. So,
there you go.
I mean, it's kind of like a no-brainer to join the league.
No, that's great. Well, when we had three drivers in the league, I would give a $5 racing credit to whoever finished highest on the team each week. And Rob wants to know, are you using those socks?
I used them all but last week. So that's probably why I was struggling. Because I had to rearrange my room around. I got some new racing decor I had to hang up in here. And I moved my socks around, so I haven't found them yet. Hopefully I find them by Sunday.
So
I want to keep up with Rob, it looks like.
So tell me about those socks. What are they? Are they like little racing boots or booties? Or what do they do? What do they do to make racing better?
It's basically like a sock with a shoe insole inside of it.
Oh, no kidding.
I mean, there's not really too much more to it. It's got a little bit of grip on the bottom.
Okay.
But I like them. They're way better than wearing my shoes.
Ah.
Most people told me they would go barefoot, but I was like, I wouldn't say that's weird, but I was like, huh. Like, I just wear my shoes usually. But ever since I've wore the socks, I prefer the socks. Last weekend I had to put shoes on. I wasn't going barefoot.
Okay. You see, my son races barefoot.
Yep.
And he's...
I know a lot of people that do it.
Yeah. I couldn't do it. I got to have at least socks on. I race in sneakers. I had a pair of worn-out sneakers where the soles were tearing on the side, but they fit my feet perfectly to race. And those are the shoes that I won races in. But we got a new puppy, and the puppy ate my old shoes. So, anyway, why don't you let's wrap this up here. So tell me, go through your sponsors, who they are, what they do for you, and mention your team. So let's do a wrap up speech here. Like you, okay,
yeah, so
you're doing
the sponsors there. I got Lightning, okay. Lardy's Barbecue. I mean,
yep,
giving me some t-shirts. I got some t-shirts, and then whenever I want some free barbecue, so I can't complain about that.
Wow. Okay.
They all kind of have a picture of like the virtual cars that like I've kind of designed. Like I do design my own cars.
Okay.
That, like I race, but and then we got Josh's Lawn Care,
yep.
My little cousin. Just he's involved in racing, and you know. He likes having his name on the car. I got my uncle Baker's Gazebo and Shed.
Yep.
And then the Guerin family Maple.
Cool. Now, does your family and your sponsors watch any of the videos? Watch the race live afterwards?
Yep. I mean, so most of the family was involved with like the same race team that like it was basically like Gagnos
cool.
and Guerin's. Like that was like the whole race team. There were some other families, but a lot of Gagnos and a lot of Guerin's were involved in that race team. So.
Oh, that's cool.
As like that all kind of like ended, like they kind of like we all kind of like stopped going to the races, but like they still like watching like the little iRaces that we do.
Yeah,
so when there's
cool.
a broadcast, like they very much enjoy watching them.
Yeah. I was watching when there was no NASCAR races and they were doing the eNASCAR series, the iRacing on TV, and yep. they had the NASCAR guys there, and I'm like, this is weird. They're basically narrating a cartoon because it was so funny. And then you see the one race where they showed the two guys that were neck and neck near the end of the race because they had the separate pictures of them, almost like a Zoom meeting. And yeah. I'm like, what is that in the background? That kid, he's got his webcam on. The guy's in his bedroom and he's on national TV on Fox F1. And I'm like, what's that in the background? It's his dog running back and forth. and it was so funny. And then
it's crazy what happened from the first of those events to like how it evolved. Like you could see, like it was almost like it became their actual race car. Like there were sponsors like all around, like yes. the rigs and everything.
Yes.
Like the rooms that they were in, like all their sponsors were involved.
Yep.
And like, well, if you're going to be on TV, you're going to put like Coca-Cola stickers all over your room.
Hey, if you're paying me to race, I will yeah. drink whatever you want me to drink, even Sunoco gasoline yeah. at racing fuel after the race. And it was so cool because then when he won, I guess his parents were out in the living room and you could see them in the background walking back and forth into the kitchen, getting stuff to eat. I'm like, I feel like I'm eavesdropping on this kid. You know, like I yeah. broke into his, I tapped into his webcam. House. Yeah. And then when he won, you see everybody jumping up and down around the TV and they all come running into his bedroom. And I'm like, you know, this is a little weird, but it's kind of cool at the same time. So, well, Brandon, I want to thank you for stopping in tonight and finding some time to chat racing. And hopefully we can get you back on again if you win the championship or something like that, or win another race. And then we'll look forward to chatting again. Otherwise, we'll see you on the track on Sunday.
Yeah, hopefully we can get that first actual win on the season here at some point. Yep. The All-Star race doesn't count, unfortunately.
Nope, that don't count.
So I still got a big old zero in the win column. the win column, but
yep,
hey, I'll take a championship with no wins.
Yep, and as I found out, winning,
if I win the championship, I will definitely come back on again.
All right,
that's
and
for sure.
And as I found out, winning a practice race doesn't count, even though it was Las Vegas and I beat Killington by 35 seconds. Don't ask me how I did it, but it was fun because we used to have like 12 or 15 guys on the practice race. So Brandon, have yourself a good night. I do thank you for fitting some time in here on a Thursday night and missing that all important practice race. And so, but what you can do if you save the race is you can go jump in Rob's car and copy everything he does, get those breaking points down.
Study his tape.
Yep. And he hates that. All right, sir. Thank you very much. Have yourself a good night.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Greg.
All right, good night. Bye.
Yeah.
Well, that was another great episode of the 802 Cup Series podcast with Brandon Guerin, driver of the car number 4 from Piston Broke Motorsports. I love that name, Pissed and Broke. A little play on words there. It's a mad piston running around with a screwdriver and a wrench. So we'll be at Kansas for the Sunflower 125 on Sunday. It will be broadcast. If you want to watch that race, it will be on Extreme Sim TV as well as the Ghost Racing Network. And it's a lot of fun. And if you have family members or friends that are in the race, it's really cool watching. So I'm Greg Dreis, your host for the 802 Cup Series podcast, brought to you by Riptide Radio. Thank you, Jeff Barefoot, for throwing all those $5 bills at us all season long. And also DTL Customs and Graphics, Dave LaMaga, who does the league artwork for us. And 802 Cup Series is broadcast on my little company called the Wainwright Broadcasting Network, where you can also pick up the Joe Sixpack Racing Podcast, the Indoor Gardener Podcast, which is everything about everything growing indoors, the Dive Bar Podcast, and Curmudgeon Radio. The 802 Cup Series podcast is live right now on Twitch. You can watch it there at twitch.tv/Greg Dreis, or just Google it. It'll come up. It'll be there for 2 weeks. It'll also be on YouTube either later tonight or tomorrow. And the audio will be uploaded to Anchor FM and Spotify. And you can listen to the audio version on those podcast platforms: Shoutcast, Pocket Cast, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, and Amazon Podcast. for the Edu2 Cup Series on iRacing. This has been the Edu2 Cup Series podcast. Have yourselves a great night, and we'll see you on the track. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.